So while the insurers may not ask potential clients about specific technology or processes, they do want to know how existing technology and internal standards are leveraged in pursuit of an effective risk management effort. Welcome to Essential Cyber, the podcast for business owners, operators, and leaders looking to stay ahead of the game in the world of cyber threats. My name is Sagar Pandya, and I'll be your host for this journey into the ever-evolving world of cybersecurity. As a business owner and leader, you know that cybersecurity is more important than ever before. With the increasing reliance on technology and internet in today's business world, it's essential to have a strong understanding of the risks and vulnerabilities faced by your business and the steps you can take to protect yourself. In this podcast, we'll explore the latest trends and developments in cybersecurity and provide practical advice and tips for protecting your organizations from cyber threats. So join us on this journey to better understand and protect your business from the ever-present digital threats. We are here to help build confidence and resilience in today's organizations to continue the fight against cyber threats. What up, world? Sagar here. Welcome to Essential Cyber. In today's episode, we're going to talk about the five things that insurers are asking their clients to implement before they get access to properly deployed cyber insurance. Let's face it, cyber attacks are a fact of life. Every organization, in fact, anyone with an internet account, has been targeted in some manner, from a phishing email to DDoS website attacks to malicious account takeover. Just as a company purchases insurance to protect from physical theft and other potential loss and damages, organizations need to add protection against the financial aftermath of a cyber attack. However, before an organization can purchase cyber insurance, it needs to meet certain criteria. The insurers really want to know that there's an organized and proactive effort to manage cyber risk. And I should know, I've recently become a broker and licensed insurance agent in the state of Illinois, so learning about the ins and outs of the cyber insurance industry has been very thought-provoking and interesting to learn so that we could provide a better service to our customers today. So while the insurers may not ask potential clients about specific technology or processes, they do want to know how existing technology and internal standards are leveraged in pursuit of an effective risk management effort. We all know that data breaches and other cyber incidents are expensive to insure. In fact, the average cost to an insurer for a cyber incident for a small and mid-sized company in 2021 was about $145,000. And this was because they had analyzed incidents that occurred between 2016 and 2020. For a large company, that cost jumps to $10 million. So if you think about everything that goes into a cyber incident for an organization, you can start to see why these costs continue to increase as the infections continue to get worse. And especially with ransomware, mitigation costs are even higher, averaging between $256,000 and $16 million respectively. We looked at an analysis of about 6,000 claims in that year's study, and it showed just how much cyber threats have increased in recent years. And those attacks are increasing no matter what the industry sector or size of the business. According to the research that we saw, this was everything that was involved in part of the process for a breach. In tandem, the rising costs of payouts come significant rate increases. So on average, cyber insurance rates rose about 89% in the fourth quarter of 2021, and that trend continued into 2022. We are seeing a little bit of relief in 2023 as the market continues to soften, but with every major incident that occurs, we can expect the market to be in turmoil in the foreseeable future. Especially things like the Ukrainian war and the prevalence of ransomware, this is going to continue to lead in a surge of claims, and it's going to continue requiring additional controls in place so that organizations have access to properly deployed cyber insurance. Most of the requirements still fall into basic measures, and we would expect every organization to have these in place, but that's certainly not the case today, and the reason why so many or organizations do not have proper access to cyber insurance in 2023. So let's talk about the five things that have to be deployed properly in an organization so that insurers can check off the box of mitigating risk for their clients. First and foremost is going to be two-factor authentication. You guys have heard me talk about this time and time again, but having two-factor enabled and deployed not only on your administrative management accounts, but all of the accounts within the organization. So think about things like Microsoft 365, Google Workspace, online web services for payroll, any type of financial services account like banking and accounting, and the list goes on. There is no excuse in 2023 why you and your configuration should not include some type of two-factor deployment. And I really don't want to hear the excuse that you don't have the technical staff on site or the time or budget to get this deployed. There are many solutions available that don't cost a penny, and you can deploy those company-wide to add an additional layer of protection to your online accounts. Two-factor authentication can prevent about 90% of breaches, especially those related to any type of funds transfer that's happening to an organization that has phished the vendor or the client of the company you're dealing with. So not having two-factor in 2023 is a very disappointing thought, and organizations need to take this process very seriously because the insurers are now requiring it to be able to even access particular policies. Number two is going to be backups. I've talked about this in previous episodes. The number one strategy for protecting yourself against a cyber incident is to have well-deployed backups that are not only completing successfully, but also have the ability to be restored successfully. Backups are not a one-sided strategy. You don't just assume because you get that email alert that the backup is completed, that it's going to be restorable in time of crises. I can't tell you how many organizations we've been brought into that had thought that backups were being successfully completed for years, only to find out that part of their incident response failed to allow them to restore backups because nobody had bothered to test their restore capability. So it's a very important distinction. Backup is not only ensuring your information is copied and stored somewhere safe, it also has to be restorable, and you should go through some exercises to test this regularly so that you don't have to find out the day of a massive crisis. Number three is going to be patching and updates, especially on Windows devices. This includes Macs as well, but it's done in a different manner than it is done for Windows. Microsoft releases patches every month, and it's called Patch Tuesday, the first Tuesday of the month. And this essentially are important security updates and patches for Windows-based workstations. Most of you that are using a Windows-based machine have an automated feature that allows you to install patches at least once a month so that you know vulnerabilities are plugged and you can mitigate any potential threat that may take advantage of said vulnerabilities. The insurers want to make sure that client workstations have at least monthly updates so that there's no possibility that a threat actor can take advantage of a potential vulnerability that could have been patched months before. This is greatly going to increase your ability to access proper policies and also even reduce premiums in some cases because this shows to an insurer that your fleet of devices is protected and patched with the latest software updates. Mac users, you're not off the hook easily either. There are updates that Apple releases on a pretty regular schedule, but you are going to require some type of third-party management software if you have a fleet of large devices that need to be patched. Most people think that just because you have a Mac device that you're safe from security threats, ransomware, and vulnerabilities. This is simply not the case. The threat actors and criminals have been very busy in finding ways to manipulate and take advantage of Mac OS devices. And this is simply not the truth anymore in 2023. Mac devices, iOS devices, they are just as vulnerable as Windows devices, and that false sense of security is what leads to intrusions on organizations that primarily use Apple devices to function. So, as I've said, patching is going to be a very important strategy. If you don't have an IT provider that can do this for you, you could either set these settings up on your devices on your own, or you can look for someone to come in and deploy it for you so you at least can check off that box on the insurance policies. Number four is going to be cyber awareness training for your employees. So there are a multitude of softwares out there that are available that allow you to simulate phishing emails to test your employees to see who falls for them. This software, what it does is it sends a fake phishing email So it could be potentially a password reset from a Facebook account, an overdue bill on American Express, an Amazon delivery package that got missed, something from LinkedIn for a connection request, something during the holidays, the list goes on. This software essentially will send a fake malicious email to all of your staff members, and then it'll wait to see either who clicks on the malicious link, who responds to the email, who forwards it, or who takes some other action to download some attachment, and it tracks that in a report. So if you have, say, a 500-person organization, and you send out this phishing test, and it returns back 50 users that have been clicking and downloading attachments, you can now focus on these 50 employees and provide them a much more diverse security training program so you know that they are going to be handled in the future. These security training assessments essentially allow us to understand who in your organization is most at risk so you can A, have more security training deployed to this particular group of users so they can learn to become better advocates of security. B, you can have a conversation with them and just be upfront to tell them that their risky behavior is putting them in jeopardy of compliance within the organization. And C, what I've seen is organizations are now making termination decisions based on the outcomes of security awareness training. Because you simply cannot have a risky employee within the organization that could potentially lead to a breach, which will cost your organization hundreds of thousands of dollars. So cyber training and phishing simulations, very key for organizations. Number five is going to be some type of documentation library. So this means having some type of incident response plan, having some disaster recovery plan, having a business continuity plan, having a folder of employee agreements that have something called an acceptable use policy so that employees know that they're using work-related hardware, software, and internet and to make better decisions when they're using company hardware. This will then allow you to then monitor employee devices for any malicious activity and really tend to remove as much liability from the employer as possible so that potential misuse of company infrastructure doesn't reflect poorly on your organization directly. So again, we're going to recap the five things that insurers are looking for in 2023. Number one is going to be two-factor authentication. Number two is backups and recovery. Number three is going to be patching and updates. Number four is cyber awareness training and phishing simulation for employees. And number five is a documentation library that includes incident response and backup and continuity planning. These are the five things that I've seen across insurance applications for most carriers. And recently going through the experience of getting myself licensed, a lot of these carriers are now requiring that you provide some type of vendor name in the application as proof that you have some sort of technology to meet those five criteria that I had mentioned before. Now, all of these are very important because I sincerely feel that they are just the basics for any organization to even function in 2023. But it's good to hear that insurers are now helping us security professionals also help implement and put some pressure on you organizations so that you have a better chance at protecting yourselves against cyber threats in 2023 and beyond. So again, hope this information was helpful. Please take a look at some of the other episodes we posted on how to implement these specific technologies. The cyber insurance market is only going to get more challenging in terms of access. And if you feel that you don't have adequate coverage, talk to your broker and have a specific conversation just around your cyber policy so that you don't have to verify these things in the event of a crisis or incident, but you have a plan and you have confidence built in prior to a breach happening to you and your organization. As I always say, there's two types of organizations in 2023. There are organizations that have been breached and they know about it and they're doing something. And then there's organizations that have been breached and they have no idea what's lurking under the layers. Only until an incident is going to happen is when you realize what's been lurking in the background. Hope this information was helpful as always. Let me know in the comments on what I can do to continue giving you more value for this podcast. And as always, stay safe out there.